right, you may be seated. All right, I want to dismiss our 5th and 6th graders to go to their class. We have a class called Club 56, and they could go right out through those doors. All right, as they're leaving, would you open your Bibles to Philippians? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. And we want to welcome all the students who are back for Utah State. We are glad you're here, and hope that this year is the best year ever, just glad that you're here. So let me share with you what we're doing here today and where we're going. This summer, we have been in a series through the book of Philippians. Next week, we are wrapping that up, and then starting up in September, we're doing a 3-week series on fasting and prayer. We're inviting you as a church to join with us to fast. Either you could go all 21 days, man, go for it, or just at least fast one meal or one day a week over those 21-day periods. We're praying for the new school year, for the fall semester, for our lives, for whatever God wants to do, what you want God to do in your life. And so it's going to be an amazing time of just us focusing in on what God wants to do and change us. And so that'll be a 3-week, 21-day fasting prayer. We have a devotional guide available for you that'll be online as well as on our app that you can follow along during those 21 days. Then after that, we're going to start a series called the 7 I Am's, and we're going to look at the 7 I Am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. There are actually more than 7 I Am's that Jesus says or refers to, but these are the highlight of the 7 I Am's. You're like, what is that all about? Well, you got to come and hear about that. So that's where we're going. So I ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. And we're going to look at verses 2 through, I believe it's 10 today. But the anchor verses are our memory verses for today. Pastor Johanna have already mentioned verses 6 and 7 is our anchor verse that we're going to hold on to today and really center everything else around these two verses. And so we're going to look at that again, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. In fact, why don't you say it with me? And we're going to have you stand if you can. Stand and say this with me, all right? I've been throwing you all off keel today because I normally don't do this, but we're going to do it. So let's say it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. A report was given by YouVersion Bible app. I don't know how many of you have the YouVersion Bible app. It's a great Bible app that if you don't have, you can download for free. It's great. But a report was given out that during the years 2020 and 2021, how many remember those years? 2020 and 2021, if you were a leader during 2020 and 2021, you still have PTSD with that. Those were the COVID years. And it listed the top 10 verses that were highlighted or downloaded during that time frame. Now, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 was not the number one verses downloaded, but it was in the top 10 verses downloaded during 2020 and 2021. If you're wondering what the number one verse that was downloaded or highlighted, you may take a guess. John 3:16, it was number two, actually. John 3:16 was number two. Number one was Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. If you don't know what Isaiah 41:10 is, you can, during my message, look it up. But as long as you could do two things at once, listen and look up a scripture. Isaiah 41:10 was the number one verse downloaded during COVID. But Philippians 4, 6, and 7 was in the top 10, and for good reason. Anxiety. Peace, right? Anxiety and peace. How many have ever had anxious thoughts? Ever been anxious? Ever been stressed? We've all have that. Some of you come in today with some anxiety in your heart and your soul. If you're a student starting out the school year, man, you have some anxiety maybe coming in like, oh, I don't know about this. If you're a freshman, you probably have a bit of excitement and anxiety. I guarantee you this, mom and dad have more anxiety than you do right now. I'm just saying that. Pastor Johanna dropped off her daughter at University of Utah this week, and I guarantee you Pastor Johanna has more anxiety than Anna does going into this week. We all have anxiety. Every single one of us have dealt with it at one point or another, and that anxiety has led to all kinds of things: stress, high blood pressure, panic attacks, freaking out. We can be anxious about money. Am I going to have enough to retire on time, or am I going to work till I'm 85? You know, what if the stock market crashes? Am I going to be able to afford a house? If you're looking to buy a house, the interest rates are extremely high. We have anxiety going to the doctor. Is my blood pressure too high? What will this scan show? Why does the doctor want me to come back for a second appointment? And so there's all kinds of anxiety that can rest with that. If you're dating, you're wondering, oh, is she the right one or is he the right one? We can have anxiety about that. If you have children, you can have anxiety about your kids. If you have teenagers, man, there's a lot of anxiety that comes with teens. Like, how come my sweet little boy is turned into a devil? You know, so you wonder about that. What are they doing? Who are they hanging out with? Are they making good choices? You have anxiety in the war with the world today, with war talks going on. I mean, Trump just met with Putin this week, and then there's always unrest in the Middle East of what's going on there, and it seems like the tensions are raising higher and higher. We can have anxiety about our jobs, deadlines this week, meeting people, getting a project done, anxiety about the future, what's in store for us in the future, anxiety about our past, will my past catch up with me? All kinds of things. Just this list has caused me anxiety today. I'm like, man, I'm reading through this list, and I'm like, oh my gosh, go get me another cup of coffee and let this go down. So, I mean, fear level goes up, and we get out of control. Augustine, who was a 5th century theologian, said this. He said, our emotions are like smoke from a fire. Just like smoke, it's not the fire, but it indicates there is a fire somewhere. And our emotions, when there's anxiety or stress or something, indicate there's something going on internally. There's a fire going on, and our emotions kind of speak out what is happening in our lives. And the text that we are going to look at today speaks on anxiety, and it speaks on how we can have peace. Not just peace, but a peace that passes all understanding. Because we look for peace in a lot of different things. We can look for peace, man, if I just find the right person, that'll give me peace. If I have the right job, if I'm financially secure, there's peace there. If I could just do this, peace is there. If I could just get on vacation, I will have peace. But that peace comes and goes. It's there for just a minute. And what this peace that we're going to look at today, what God provides, is a peace that surpasses understanding. It's not a peace that just comes and goes, but it's a peace in the midst of chaos. It's peace that's in the midst of the storm. It's peace that can just calm you when you are facing things that are out of your control. In fact, Jesus speaks on peace 23 times in the Gospels. 23 times he speaks directly about peace. Why? Because we want and desire peace. And he, the Prince of Peace, is the only one who can bring that kind of peace. And so just to let you know, so you're not anxious about where we're going today, I'm just helping you have peace. What we're going to do is, because these verses talk about a response. It talks about prayer, that we are to bring our prayers to God, especially when we are anxious about things. And so what we're going to do in response today, we are going to pray. We're going to take God at his word. We're going to pray. We're going to have a time at the altar that you could come forward and pray. You can stay in your seats and pray, whatever. But we are going to pray and ask God with our anxiety, with our stress, whatever it's facing that we're facing, whether it be health, financial, relationship, whatever it is, like, God, you said to pray and give this to you, so that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to ask for that peace to come on me right here and right now. So that's where we're going, and that's what is going to happen today. I'm believing that the peace of God is going to come on our lives today. Amen? Amen. All right. So I have 3 points today. They all start with R. It's the Baptist within me. They're all going to start with R. So number one of what I believe in these verses, how Paul says we can have peace. Number one, if you're taking notes, is resolve conflict. Resolve conflict. And this goes back to verse 2. Verse 2 through 5 says this, Paul writing, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. So you have this letter that Paul's writing. Paul often writes letters to people, churches that he started. He's writing these letters in a prison in Rome. And so he's writing this letter to a church in Philippi that is countries away, thousands of miles away. He's writing a letter. And in this letter, he's addressing a conflict between two women, Euodia and Syntyche. An issue within the church, two women in the church that were probably pillars in the church. In fact, Paul says, they work with me. They're my fellow workers in the Christ. So these are women who show up. I mean, they're early for the coffee thing. They're at the Bible studies. They've joined the life group before life groups were even ready to be joined. I mean, they are right there. They are those type of women. They're the warriors of the church. The only problem is one sitting over here and one sitting over here, and they're arguing with one another. And Paul doesn't tell us what they're fighting about, but it's such an issue that the Apostle Paul hears about it hundreds, if thousands of miles away while he's in a prison. Can you believe that? Hey, Paul, I'm coming to talk to you. Oh, you got to hear about Euodia and Syntyche. And he's like, what? Are you kidding me? There's an issue going on. And so when a letter arrives from Paul to this church, what normally would take place is the whole church, it's not a church gathering like this, but it was a church met in a house. And so they're in this house. And so all the people here, what does Paul have to say? What does Paul have to say? And he's going through and he's like, oh, and they're like all encouraged by it. And then you get to chapter 4. It says here, Euodia and Syntyche. And I'm sure they're like, awkward, you know? And he says, man, what are you doing? Work this out. Work this out. And he calls the church, gather around them. They are fellow workers. Work this out. And in church, we can allow small things to become big things. And we can allow division to come into the church. The devil wants nothing more than division in the church. And we get divided over little things. I didn't really like that music up there. I can't believe they sing, you know. And we get upset about that. We get upset about music. We get upset about check-in and check-out stations. We get upset about why are they serving Folgers at a coffee shop, you know. We could get upset over little, tiny, insignificant things. And it allows it to be becomes a big thing. And it grows and grows and there's become camps within the church. This camp, Syntyche camp, Syntyche camp, and Euodia camp. And it comes and it causes division in the church. And if you've been in church more than 2 months, you know this to be true. You know that there can be divisions. There can be people who are angry with one another and upset with one another and frustrated with one another. And it can cause division in the church and not just in the church. But we can have tension within people. We can get angry and upset with people we love and care about. I imagine, and it's not hard imagination, that there's probably a couple that came into church today, a husband and wife, who had a fight this week. who argued this week, where tension in the church or in the car was so thick you could cut it with a knife as you're coming to church, and you come to the church hand in hand, like, oh, we love Jesus. And you're fighting, you've had a fight already this week, you know? There's tension. And we have this within us because we allowed little things, and you give each other the cold shoulder, or you say something, or you get upset. And or in relationships at work where you're upset with a boss or you're upset with a fellow worker or whatever, and you allow this tension and you don't even want to go to work because it's just thick within there. And there's problems, or she said that or he said that, and there's gossips and there's slander and there's backfighting, and your life could be a reality show, right? Like, if they just got the cameras, I mean, we'd be set. And it's true, and I make light of it, but it's not light. It's heavy, it's real, and it causes anxiety. You know this. Man, you stay up all night wondering about them. You're in the shower. If I ever see them, this is exactly what I'm going to say. And if they say this, I'm going to respond with this. And you have this whole scenario in your mind of what it's going to be like when you come in contact with them. Oh, man. And it's caused anxiety, caused stress in our lives. In both the book of Hebrews and the book of Romans, we read this. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. If it's possible, it's not always possible. But if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. You cannot control another person, but you can choose how you're going to respond, how you're going to act, how you're going to forgive. It may not always lead to reconciliation, but you can choose, I'm going to either have bitterness and anger or unforgiveness, or I'm going to choose to forgive. Reconciliation always takes two people. Always takes two people. But forgiving someone and having humility only takes one person. You can forgive somebody and take humility with you in it. And today, as we come to pray, and we're going to pray at these altars, and there may be something within you, and you may be having an argument with your wife or your husband this week or something, and you know there's tension, and you're going to say, okay, we're going to come pray. What you need to do is say, man, we need to get this right. So we need to come and pray together. And then you say, well, who's going to do it? The one who loves Jesus most is going to make the initiative. All right? Whoever's the most mature, step up and say, I guess I love Jesus more than you, so let's go forward. You know? Here's the truth about it. When we are holding on to hurt, when we hold on to bitterness, a get-even spirit, we will never have peace. And Paul is talking to these women and says, man, listen, your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're fighting? Let's be on the same team. Let's work this out. Let's figure out what's going on. And then he says this. He says, let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. What does that mean? Some version says, let your gentleness be made known. But look at it this way. What is the opposite of reasonableness? Being unreasonable. Stop being unreasonable. Stop allowing your pride to keep you from being reasonable. Pray with your partner. Pray with your spouse. Don't wait for them. You go forward. Be the most mature in the group. How about stop gossiping? Stop slandering a fellow brother or sister, or putting down or speaking negative about them. Instead, pray for them. Bless them. Remember, as far as it's up to you, reconciliation always takes two, but you can choose to forgive. You could choose to walk in humility. Resolve conflict. Not saying that you have to be best friends with them, but you can forgive them. Number two, the second R is this, release burdens. Philippians, our verse today, 6 and 7, I'm going to say it again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything. Okay, Paul, easier said than done. He's writing this while he's in chains in a prison. Don't be anxious about anything. You can't control everything. You can't control all aspects of your future. You can't control your health. You may get cancer. You may have a heart attack. You can't control those things, but you can control some things. You can control what you eat, exercising, those kind of things. You can't control if your kids are going to wander away from God and rebel. But you can control by living a godly life, praying for them, sending them to youth services, youth camps, kids camps, getting them in the right areas. But there's some things you can control, some things you can't control. You can't control your financial future. The stock market may crash. Remember 2008? You may lose your job, but you can control how you're going to spend your money. Spend less than what you make. And you can follow God in obedience and honoring God's mission. So what is God's mission? There's several things, but in this verse, there's a commandment from God. Let your requests be made known to God. That's a command. Let your requests be made known. If you're bottling things up, if you're holding on to this, if you're saying, I got this, I can take care of this, I can do this, I can make this happen, I'll fix it, it's going to lead to stress and anxiety. Listen, prayer must be the first response, not the last resort. We meet in everything by prayer and supplication. Everything. Go to God in prayer. We say, well, it's not that big a deal. It's a big deal to you. And if it's a big deal to you, it's a big deal to God. In everything, go to God in prayer. We must go to Him first and foremost. God wants the best for you. He wants the best for you. He wants to work in and of in your life. God is sovereign. He is in control. He is not up there going, oh no, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with Dane's teenager? Oh no. He's not stressed out. He's in control. It's like a boss who's in his office with his feet up on the desk. He's totally in control. God is in control and He loves you and He cares for you. Listen to what Romans 8 says. These are powerful words. Listen. I'm going to bring it up. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? Look, if God is for us, who can be against us? Boom, right there. If God is for you, who can be against you? Then look at verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? That's a powerful verse, is it not? I mean, God who did not spare His own Son, but gave His Son to bring you into relationship with Him, who redeemed you, who saved you from your sins, who brought you out of the miry clay, put you on a solid rock, who gave you that. How will He not be with you in whatever you're facing today? In the doctor's news, the financial news, the relationship news, the work news, school news, whatever it is, God is for you. He's not against you. He's not against you. If He loved you so much that He gave His Son for you, He is not against you. He is with you. Psalm 50, verse 15. Look at this, Psalm 50, 15. And call on Me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor Me. Oh, that's a powerful verse. Call on him in the day of trouble and he will deliver us. How will he deliver you? Will the cancer go away? Will you win the lottery? Will your marriage be perfect? Maybe. But Paul says he delivers us by the peace that passes all understanding. That though I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me. Even though I may face this chemotherapy for the next 3 to 6 or 1 year, he's with me. God is with me. His peace is with me. Even though my marriage is shaky and I don't know what's going to happen, I can have peace that God is with me. Even though my finances may struggle and I may not retire until I'm 99, God is with me. Somehow at 100, I think you could go ahead and retire. But Psalm 34 says that we will bless and praise the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my mouth. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to come here today and we're going to pray and say, God, you said in your word, you'll be with me. And so I'm going to pray. I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to do it Thanksgiving. I'm going to list the things that you already have done. God, I thank you for this. I thank you for that. I thank you that I could come today and pray. I thank you that I could call upon your name. I thank you that you never leave me nor forsake me. I thank you that you are good and you do good. And I thank you for what you're going to do in my life. I thank you how you're going to heal this, how you're going to set this free, how you're going to deliver this. I thank you. And then what we're going to pray for today is the peace of God that passes all understanding. What kind of peace is that? And we have to retrain our mind because, listen, you're not the same person you once were. You don't live there anymore. You don't go down that road anymore. You're not that same person anymore. You're not living in that house anymore. You have a new life, a new creation, a new heart. You got to stop going left and go straight. You got to renew your mind. That's why getting in the life group is so important, because you're around fellow believers. Like, help me renew my mind. Getting in the word, praying, renew my mind and think differently about things. It's this whole sanctification process. Download the Bible app. Find a Bible plan. Seek the Lord. This 21 days of fasting and prayer. Renew my mind. Renew my mind. Renew my heart. I'm going to invite the worship team up and we're going to spend some time praying, but let me close with this. We all get anxious. We all have stress. And there's maybe things in your life that you've been praying for a long time. A long time. If you have a child that is not serving the Lord, a prodigal, I'm sure you're praying for that child all the time. Oh, Lord, bring them home. Let their eyes be open. Let their heart turn towards you. If you're going through a health issue right now, and I told you, there was about 2.5, 3 years where I was in pain every single day. And I was praying, God, when's this going to end? When's this going to end? If your marriage is up and down and you're like praying, God, I just need healing this, or your finances, like, when are we going to get out of this mountain of debt or whatever it is? And you're praying, and you're praying, and you're praying, and you're discouraged in your prayer. Let me encourage you, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Unless God specifically says, okay, stop praying. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. Keep seeking him. Keep praying for your prodigal. Keep praying for your health. Keep praying for your finances. Keep praying for that relationship. Keep praying. Don't stop praying. Who knows? What if the Israelites would have stopped like on day 5 of walking around the walls of Jericho? This is ridiculous. We're just walking around. Nothing's happening. We're going to give up. The walls would have never came down. Keep walking. Keep praying. Keep believing for a miracle. That's why we're praying today. That's why we're coming forward today and say, Lord, this is it. This is I need you to move in this situation. I need you to move in this, in my life right now. So you got to keep on praying. Psalm 27, verse 13 says this: I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If you're looking for a life verse, if you've been like, Lord, just give me a life verse. I'm going to come to church today and I need a life verse. Boom. Answer prayer. Psalm 27, 13. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to pray for the goodness of God today. Lord, you're good and you do good. We're gonna sing this song called The Goodness of God, and the verses go like this. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. So would you stand with me? And let's pray. And if you would like to come forward, you can come forward. If you want to pray in your seat, you can pray in your seat. But we're going to pray for the goodness of God and the peace of God. Father, we just pray right now for what you want to do. We make it happen in our lives. Let the goodness and the peace and the strength and the power of God move in our lives right here, right now. Amen.